Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Idag är det 14 december och det har blivit dags för lucka nummer 14 i Djurgårdens julkalender. Och vi i Hockeytorsk har fått äran att göra en exklusiv intervju med en transatlantisk spelare.
Djurgårdens nummer 29, Matt Anderson.
En spännande spelare, uppväxt på Long Island.
Really, I mean I really should look into, you know, like where my last name comes from. You know, it has to come from around here somewhere, you know. Both my parents, three of the four grandparents of my grandparents have Italian ancestry, but my father's father, is like a mix. So, my last name has to come from somewhere around here, you know. Really, it'd be interesting for me to look into that, you know. It'd be pretty cool.
But where did you grow up?
I grew up on Long Island, New York. It's about 50 kilometers from New York City. Very suburban area. Hockey is not the most popular sport where I come from. But it is growing now at a rapid rate. There's a lot of players coming up that, you know, around the time when the Rangers won the Stanley Cup in 1994, it was probably like the height of hockey in the United States. You know, so there's a big, big following, and a big, you know, a big kind of group of kids coming up now. They're about 16 to 20 years old now that are really, really strong players. And, you know, my, high school and, youth experience is mostly like based around lacrosse. You know, that's the biggest sport on Long Island. And I would say, you know, the majority of Division I lacrosse players in college are coming from either Long Island or Maryland. And but Long Island is really known for its lacrosse. So hockey wasn't, like I said, I grew up practicing twice a week on half ice for less than 1 hour at a time until I was 17. Then I started to skate on full ice twice a week for 1 hour. So, you know, I think long term it helped me, but in the short term I really wasn't on the ice as a kid, and I wasn't really physically developed. But at the same time, it allowed me to do other things. I grew up surfing on Long Island, and in my hometown's really close to the beach. And I played lacrosse, like I was talking about this other sport, and you know, I kind of developed some of my other skills that over the long term I think that it benefited me. You know, but short term, when I was 17, 18 years old, I wasn't the greatest hockey player. But when I turned 25, and then, you know, now my skills, I have much more developed because I did do other things, you know, not just play hockey as a, you know, when I was a young kid.
Do you think transatlantic players like you have an advantage of, like, I guess you played baseball when you were a kid? You played lacrosse?
Yeah.
Like the feeling for a ball.
Yeah, I think it's, but at the same time, we don't grow up playing, you know. I think our feeling on our feet is not as advanced as soccer or football is such a big sport here, you know. But yeah, I think, you know, there's, I don't know, you know, I think in, at home, there's more opportunity to play maybe different sports, you know. You can play five to six different sports every season. But I don't know. I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think that if you, I don't think it really so much matters what you're doing. It's what, it's how you do it. And I always say, you know, it's not the plan, it's how you execute the plan. You know, I think if you do anything in life with passion and good intention and are dedicated and have persistent and determined, I think that you'll develop the skills and the mindset and the physical attributes that you need if that's what you want to do, you know. At least that's what I hope to believe, you know. And that's what I was taught as a kid from my parents.
So how did it work? Did you go to a ice hockey club or did you start to skate in school?
Me and my dad started at the same time. It was around the 80s, one of the late 80s, when the Islanders were winning the Stanley Cup. And I don't know how we got turned on to it, but we started skating at the same time. And he would pick me up from school early so we could go skate. And it's normal to play like in a private club. Like there is high school hockey or hockey in school. But it's, excuse me, the times that where the practices were pretty close to midnight and the games were conflicting with the private club game, so I didn't play on the team. I just played on the private club. So, yeah.
Isn't that expensive?
Yeah, especially on Long Island. I don't know what it translates to crowns, I guess, but it's pretty close to $500 an hour. For an hour of ice on Long Island, where I grew up right now, because energy and it's just so, and it's such high demand. It's incredible how much the ice is, the cost to rent the ice for an hour. I guess that would be, I don't know, 5,000 crowns or, you know, maybe a little bit less than that. It's, you know, I was pretty fortunate. My parents, you know, sacrificed a lot and, were able to provide me with the opportunity to play hockey. And, it's something that, you know, I think, you know, looking back, maybe I took it for granted, you know, because my parents were, you know, such a big part of my development and, you know, to get me to where I am today.
Have you been to Chelsea Piers?
Yeah. There's a pretty big sporting facility now there. It's beautiful. It's unbelievable. I mean, the views. I actually did some training this summer with Nike. And my strength coach at home, Frank Dolan, and the skyline is just beautiful. You know, you don't realize you're in New York City. You know, playing on a field and all this, and then they have the rinks, and it's pretty cool.
Try this skating machine they have, like this running?
Treadmill, the skating treadmill. Yeah,
så,
yeah.
För att översätta då, som det finns ju på gym så har vi så här löpband, vi sätter igång liksom level 10 så får vi upp en viss fart så här. Det finns då motsvarande för ishockey.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's at the rink that I grew up at, they actually have, well, they had one. They no longer have it, but it's a pretty interesting machine. You know, I think the jury is still out of, like, how effective it is. But as far as a conditioning tool, it is very, very difficult to skate on it. And you can really, it's really good for conditioning. Mm. Excuse me, I think that it can, I'm not so sure how great it is for your stride, you know, at times. You know, I think let's put it this way. I think if you need to, it's a great tool to use to supplement skating on the ice. I don't think it's what you should do, you know, just only do this, you know. But yeah, it's a pretty amazing.
Do you remember
amazing.
The first time? Like, it seems to be scary to do.
Yeah. You have this harness on and everything, and you feel like, I don't know, like you're, it's scary, you know, the machine is loud and I'm not quite sure what's going to happen, you know, but luckily I didn't fall, so that was good.
But you were a hockey fan when you were young, or?
Yeah, I followed the Rangers mostly. And I was really fortunate. Some of the Islanders that played in the 80s that won the Stanley Cups, they stayed on Long Island and had children. And I grew up with a few of their children. You know, a guy by the name of Jerry Hart. He played for the Islanders for quite a few years. I grew up with his son. And he was the guy that kind of funded the rink that I end up skating at. You know, I still skate it to this day. And Bobby Nystrom is another famous New York Islander. I grew up with his son. So I was lucky enough to, you know, have some pretty good coaches and pretty good experience, you know, from those, you know, those guys.
But to grow up in on Long Island, is it special or it's close to Manhattan or?
Yeah. Like I said, it's like 50 kilometers, so you know, it's an hour drive or 2 hours or 2.5 hours depending on the traffic. An easy train, and where I'm from is, like I said, is very close to the ocean. So you also have these beach communities as well. You know, I'm not, you know, maybe you would read about Long Island, you think of the Hamptons and the Kardashians and all this nonsense, but that's about 30, 40 kilometers east of where I am. So I'm kind of like directly in the middle. And it's a very expensive place to grow up. And, you know, having New York City so close, there's always something going on, you know, even to this day. I mean, there's tons of concerts and, you know, art or anything you can really get yourself into. You know, I think New York has it, you know. It's a pretty, pretty special place.
So is it a big difference to live here?
You know, I think it's more, this is more of kind of a city life for me. But, you know, because I grew up in the suburbs, you know, it's not quite a city. I mean, there's tons of people, but it's not quite city living like this. But I think this style of living is more for me. I'm at home by me, everyone's driving these big cars and trucks and everything. But I, you know, riding my bike and walking and being outside is what I enjoy. And this is the kind of lifestyle I think ultimately when I look to, you know, settle down, have a family someday, that's the kind of area where I, you know, I will look to settle down in.
And what do you think about Stockholm?
I don't know, maybe Allie, my girlfriend's here with us, maybe she can help us out with this question. But we've had a great experience. We've had plenty of visitors and, you know, pleasant people and, you know, we've learned so far about the culture and how passionate the fans are for their sports. And it's something that I've never really experienced before, you know, sporting events and, you know, watching sports in the United States is much different, you know. It's more of like entertainment and a relaxing atmosphere. Whereas here, you know, I think that's the biggest thing of Stockholm that I've, or I don't want to say the biggest thing, but the most shocking thing to me. You know, I'd seen videos and, you know, Jacob Josephson is telling me about the fans and Alex Erbaum and all these guys. You know, I played with Matthias Tedenby and they tell me, oh, the fans are so passionate. And I said, okay, you know, but until I really got here, I really realized, you know, how much care and passion they have for the game and for their team and for their jersey. You know, it's pretty special.
It must be very interesting to see.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of like how I was raised with my family. You know, I was always taught to play a team game. And I think, you know, short term, like I talked about earlier, as far as development, I think short term, it can, if you think selfishly, you know, it may put you ahead of others, you know, short term, you know, but long term, when you do things the right way and, you know, you play as a team and, I think that's what's going to give you the long-term success, you know? And, I don't know. I think I'm kind of going off going off the mark of the question here, but, it's been pretty like jaw dropping for me. I don't know. There's been a lot of awe, as far as like, you know, the passion and, you know, every night when we're at the arena, you know, how much impact they have on the game. You know, I think, all the folks that have come to visit would say the same thing. That's what they leave Stockholm and that's what they remember. They don't, you know, yes, Stockholm's beautiful, you know, old town and Stureplan. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly, but you know, these are really beautiful places, but they leave here and they remember your garden and being at Hovet, and that's pretty cool.
So you haven't had the feeling that the Swedish people are like the chef in the Muppet Show?
Yeah, that's the I've gotten quite a few messages with this Muppet picture. You know, my brother-in-law sent it to me right after I had signed to come here, you know, and that's been the big joke amongst my family. But
I heard the story behind the character. Like that was how the Swedish people were when they arrived to the States, because they couldn't speak English, and they just sounded funny.
I think, like, you know, I think a lot of the words are fairly similar, you know, at least I'm picking up some so far. I don't think it's too far off, you know, but that's the other thing that's made our transition here a bit easier, is, you know, how welcoming and how easy it is to speak English with everyone. And I think that it's and me and Ali need to do our part now and really kind of you know, embrace the language and for us to you know, to learn some and be able to communicate back in Swedish. So
how do you enjoy life in Stockholm when you don't play hockey and when you spend time together?
We explore the city a lot together. You know, there's a lot of different areas, different neighborhoods. I think, you know, we've sort of gotten into a routine. We have our breakfast spot and our, you know, our Thai dinner spot. And it's nice to sort of feel like you have a routine when you're far away from home. Otherwise, yeah, we try to explore new neighborhoods. And like Matt said, we've had a lot of visitors. So it's made it sort of easy to sort of, the time's been passing quickly because of that.
So do you follow the team and go with them when they travel?
No, I stay here when they travel. I've almost gone a couple times, just if it's, you know, within an hour or two. But I've stayed here. I watch them. I've watched every game. But, yeah.
Are you a member of the Facebook group for Hockey Wives?
I am, yes. Yep, I am a member of that, and the girls have been, you know, all the other girlfriends and wives have been very welcoming. It's a nice community to be a part of, and yeah, I've had a great time the last couple months getting to know everybody and watching Matt, and, you know, we're here for hockey. We're not, it's nice to explore the city, but it's also nice to be here with Matt and watch him work hard and watch him be part of the team and everything.
What do you think will be the strongest memory from Stockholm? And you can't say Djurgården right now.
Well, you know, I think it's early. You know, I think my memory from Stockholm, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of hockey left to be played, you know. And I think that's what I'm going to remember most. And, you know, achieving something with the team is obviously something, you know, I don't think... you know, yeah, we've had maybe a couple wins. You know, we're winning some hockey games lately, but I think at the end of the season is what I'm going to remember the most, you know, and how far we go. And, you know, I think what's really nice for me is to see a lot of the young players and how they're developing, and it's really exciting. You know, I'm not getting any younger, that's for sure. And you know, to see, you know, the young guys coming up and, you know, the opportunity that they have in front of them. And it's pretty exciting to see that, you know, their development.
We have a question from a supporter who sent it to us, and he was wondering, which of the young players do you think has the greatest potential?
Oh boy. I don't know. I like them all. I really do. You know, I think, Lucas Vainamo is an incredible skater. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I think that that's got to be your best attribute, you know, and I think to be a good hockey player, you know, and it's pretty incredible. But between Olas and England, I mean, you can't teach how big they are, and, you know, they're getting better and better every day. And, you know, Daniel, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce his last name correctly, but Bernhardt, you know, he's got tremendous skills, and it's going to be interesting to see how he develops. I don't think it'd be fair to say that one is has the more potential than the other, because I think they're all, of those four guys at least, you know. And then you've got, maybe the next tier up, you know, of guys that are 22, 20 to 24 that are, you know, on the brink of their career, about to step into really their prime. And obviously we've had some pretty incredible goaltending as of late. Montas has a huge upside, and it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how he continues. I think that with the right, they've got the right leadership for the management and the coaches, and I think that if they continue to work hard and put their best foot forward, I think, you know, they're going to have pretty bright futures, you know. Obviously, I think the NHL is, you know, still the best hockey league in the world, and I think that, I hope for a few of them that they're going to get their chance. You know, I mean, I had a cup of coffee in the NHL, to do it at 24 or, you know, 22, like some of these guys, is pretty exciting, you know, to have that chance to really have a career in the NHL, not, like I said, my cup of coffee, you know, because at the end of the day, that's pretty special, you know, not to look past the Swedish Hockey League, but, you know, I think that those guys have some pretty big upsides.
But tell us about the summer camp here in Djurgården. It was really tough.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty challenging. It was difficult for me because I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, you know, coming over. But, I got the chance to go to the football game, which was incredible. And, I think that summer camp kind of set the tone for, you know, kind of, what was going to take place here, you know, that over the next, you know, 6 months, you know, I guess it was about 6 months ago. It was really challenging. I think that, had I known how difficult it was going to be, I may have prepared differently. Last season I had some bumps and bruises, so I took quite a lot of time off this past summer to get a healthy knee, and so I wasn't really in tip-top shape coming in, and it kind of... I kind of had a hiccup, a little bit of an injury leaving, and so it kind of set me back as far as like my training is, you know, preparing for the start of the season, which was really challenging for me. Ultimately, the coaching staff and management have been really supportive, and they've put a system in place, and they were adamant about me training hard and preparing for the end of the season, you know, and because that's when the hockey's going to count the most. So I think that, I've had some spurts here and there of good energy and physical fitness, and I'm looking forward to the second half of the season for all this, kind of hard work that we've put in to kind of pay off.
What do you think, Ellie? Yeah. I wrote song, film, book, joke, food. What's Matt's favorite song, film, etc.? Don't show him.
He's writing it?
Yeah, but he can't. Are you a fun guy?
What was that?
Are you a fun guy?
I guess we'll find out.
You see, on the table here we have mineral water. Diet Coke, and we also have Trocadero, which is a classic soft drink here in Sweden. It's an old one, hard to find. Would you like to try it?
Yeah, for sure. Why not? Don't tell Shumi or Patrick that I'm soda.
You don't drink soda?
Not very often, but we'll see.
It's kind of sweet.
Wow. Very interesting taste. It's like
is it similar to something in
I don't think I've had anything quite like that, really.
that one is close to another old popular soft drink called Sockerdricka.
Okay.
Sugar drink.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can imagine it's kind of sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
but how was Russia and Croatia?
Both places, you know, it's a completely different culture. My first season in the KHL, I was in Moscow, and I enjoyed the city. I think I picked a good place, and I picked Spartak because of they were in Moscow, and because I think it would have been much more difficult to start out in Russia in a smaller city. I think I really enjoyed my time in Moscow, and it was really great for me to kind of develop as a player and kind of learn about even just learn about myself, because obviously it's not the easiest place to live, you know. And then last year I started in Croatia, and it's a beautiful country. You know, I was able to get to the coastline in the beginning of the year, which is pretty cool. And they have pretty passionate fans as well. They're always filling up the arena, and they really love the team down there. It was fairly warm for the most of the time I was there, which is pretty nice. And it was definitely a nice place to, after a long road trip in Russia, to come back to, you know. And it was kind of like you're flying home and kind of getting away from the hustle and bustle of Russia. And then last year I finished in a smaller city in kind of like the middle of Russia, I guess you'd say, pretty close to Kazan, a bigger city. And it was, you know, kind of a more traditional Russian experience, and with the baza and kind of the old school Russian training. You know, we were practicing twice a day, and a lot of physical fitness, and a lot of the kind of the old school, what you might read about and see about, you know, the old Soviet Union Red Army teams. That's how we were training, and it was really a very interesting experience, you know. I think my time in the KHL, I think I've kind of saw it all, you know. I had some pretty unfortunate circumstances as far as like contracts and whatnot, but you know, some of these stories that you hear of the KHL, some of them are true, some of them aren't, but so I think I saw it all while I was there. So
what kind of stories?
Well, you know, you hear about how, you know, some of the teams have some financial difficulties, and the coaching styles, and like I said, the training, and you know, some of these stories it gets pretty interesting, you know. I hate to say bad things about the Russian culture, the way they do things, because they provided me with so much, and I enjoyed my time, and you know, I never felt like I was not a part of what was going on there. You know, I felt very much involved, and I thought they did a pretty good job of keeping me feeling a part of everything. You know, it's because over there it can really easily go in the wrong direction as far as them leaving you aside and saying, enough with you, you know. As far as, and as well, like, you know, being American, being in Russia, you know, there was a lot of, I was nervous at first going over. As a whole, you know, I couldn't, it wasn't the big scary place that I had pictured in my head. You know, everyone was friendly, and, it was actually a pretty pleasant experience for me overall.
But why, Russia? From USA to Russia.
I had, you know, I wasn't really sure what I was going to do after my last year in North America, and it was my agent had first started, I guess, marketing me in Europe, those are the first offers that came along. Nothing really else was out there at the time. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to roll with this. Actually, pardon me. I had one other offer in Germany, in Hamburg in Germany. And my agent thought it would be best for my development to give it a shot in the KHL. You know, obviously, as competitive as a league as it is, you know, it was like, okay, you know, I'm going to give it a shot in Europe. And I had some concussion problems in my last few years in North America. So, I thought it was time to move on to, you know, kind of the bigger ice surface and kind of a more skilled play.
So what did you find out? Let's see here.
Okay. But Zagreb, it's quite strange, you know. It's the same league, but another country.
Yeah. Like there's I guess maybe six or eight teams that aren't in Russia. You know, there's a team in Kazakhstan, Minsk, a team in Slovakia, now Jokerit in Helsinki, Riga. You know, there are quite a few teams that are outside, and it's much easier as an import player to play on one of those teams, or you're outside of Russia. And they don't have as strict import rules, so they have more North American players. So it's easier for a guy like myself to go there and kind of feel comfortable. You know, I kind of got my first year, my world kind of got turned upside down in Russia. About halfway through the season, the team had some big financial crises. And so I thought it was time to go to a team where I could, you know, kind of get my feet back underneath me in Croatia.
So what's your favorite song?
My favorite song? Oh, my goodness. I'm not sure. I have no idea what it says on that paper.
It's not the title. It's just...
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you have any songs that you like?
Probably something by the Stone Temple Pilots, maybe by Scott Weiland, but mm-mm. I don't know.
The 21st Day of September.
Oh, yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yes, of course.
Why?
I think it's like a song that everyone can dance to. I think if you go to a wedding, I feel silly that I didn't answer that question the right way, but I feel like at a wedding, if that song is played, you know, like grandma and the nieces and the grandchildren can all dance to it, and I enjoy it when everyone's happy and dancing. So
do you enjoy dancing?
Yeah, you of do. Course. Yeah. I'm not the best at it.
But so you're not the guy at the bar drinking mineral water.
No.
Okay.
No.
And your favorite movie?
Maybe Conspiracy Theory. No.
Could be.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Got that
did,
one right.
Did you type every movie?
Yeah.
Or a movie?
It's kind of a joke because Matt gets really passionate about like every movie is like you got to see this. Or, like he's always spitting out lines for movies. I also said Uncle Vinny because that's
my cousin Vinny.
My cousin Vinny.
So do you have any favorite lines?
Oh, I don't know. Oh man, it's too many, I think. Nothing that comes to me right now, at least.
Forget about it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And the book Unbroken,
Yeah, yeah. It's I don't know if you guys have read it. Where there's a movie last year. It was about a guy who was kind of going for the Olympics as an athlete. It was just before World War I, I believe. And he was an incredible athlete. I think he ran a 4-minute mile or pretty close to it. And he ends up going to the service, and his plane gets shot down. And he's a prisoner of war for over a year, I believe. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. But he survives like 90 days in a raft in the ocean in the Pacific, and then finally gets captured by the Japanese and is tortured for another, let's say, 90 days or 6 months at a time. And he survives, and it's a pretty incredible story. It was pretty something, a very, very well-written book, and yeah, it's definitely a must-read, I think.
Are you reading a lot of books?
Not very often. You know, I think I read about 5 or 10 pages at a time before I go to sleep. You know, at night I'm falling asleep as soon as I start reading. But no, I'm not such a big reader. But we enjoy going to the movies here, you know, in the afternoons. Kind of kill some time, and we enjoy kind of getting out. We're always in Södermalm watching movies. So
how do you spend your time during your away trips?
Like on the road, like when we travel? Well, a lot of days we're traveling just the day of the game, you know, so we're kind of in and out. But I'm rooming with Patrick Thorsen, so we're always having good laughs, and, you know, we share a lot of experiences, and, you know, he's a great guy for me because, you know, we're both guy. You know, obviously he's Scandinavian, but, you know, we're not both non-Swedish guys, and a little bit older, so you know, we have a lot of the same interests, and it's really helpful for me to talk to a guy of his caliber, and you know, obviously his achievements are pretty, you know, pretty outstanding, and his career it's pretty impressive, you know, kind of like what he's done, and he's gone, you know, above and beyond to make me feel a part of the team, you know, because a lot of times I need him to help me translate, and he's really kind of been my right hand man, and really, you know, he's I can't say thanks enough to him, because he's been really helpful.
So you're not like so old seniors doing crosswords and playing bridge.
Yeah, but we have our moments, but you know, I think our experience is what's really helpful to, you know, kind of some of these other players, and you know, his. You know, him playing at the national level and is something I look up to as well, you know. So I think we're all learning from each other.
So have you found any favorite spots when you are on the road? Like me personally, when I pass Linköping on the way to Jönköping, on the right side, there is an old oak. And every time I pass it, I have to say, that's the most beautiful oak of E4.
No, I don't think I've been here long enough to start doing that. But maybe next season if I'm back. And you know, actually, me and Ali have gone up to just outside Östersund, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, and spent some time up there. Over the last national break, we had 2 days, and we drove up there, and we really enjoy, you know, kind of getting out and seeing, you know, more of Stockholm. We're anxious actually to get up to northern Sweden as well. There's a hotel that we're interested in that's kind of set like just south of the Arctic Circle, and we're both very outdoorsy people, so we're interested in stuff like this. So,
what do you think about Sweden as a country?
I think that. It's going to be interesting. We have this next presidential nomination coming up, and there's a candidate from Vermont, where Ali's from, that's saying that the United States needs to take on more of the Scandinavian way. And you know, we are both of us are pretty amazed at the you know, the way the country is running, and just the lifestyle. You know, I think that. It's amazing, you know, between the amount of days you receive after, you know, your child is born. Obviously, you know, you have heavy taxes and all this, but, you know, like you have all this parental leave and free education and healthcare. And I understand, like, you know, you're paying for it through your taxes and this, but for us, it's much different where we have to pay. So when I say free, I don't mean that, you know, I understand that you guys pay for your healthcare and like long term, but, you know, we as a society in the United States, you know, these are things that we're always nervous about. You know, I always say we have to save our money for a rainy day, you know, or for, you know, God forbid there is catastrophe. You know, we don't have the security that you folks have. And that's something that we admire and something that we think about overall. You know, it's such a better quality of living. You know, you have such a freer mind, and any everything seems to be in place. You know, like you're developing people, and everyone doing great things. And I don't know, it's pretty. We've really enjoyed our time, and it's pretty. We think it's a pretty amazing system that you folks have, and we're envious. That's for sure. We're jealous.
It says here in my paper, Ali wrote that you eat a lot of chicken.
Well, yeah, I'm a pretty simple eater, so with a lot of lean meat, and she might have wrote yogurt as well. I'm eating yogurt all the time, but I don't know. I think with what I've learned over the years, if I keep my diet simple, I can. It's one less thing I can, if I'm not feeling well, you know, it's not because I'm not eating properly, you know. So if I keep my diet simple and, you know, have my staples like chicken or whatever, I'm able to, you know, kind of keep my energy levels high. So,
do you miss anything from the States?
One of our visitors recently brought graham crackers with them. And they left them with us. They brought a whole box for themselves while they were here, and then they left them with us. And I think we both enjoyed. We're like savoring the last like four of them. otherwise, I can't think of anything that we don't eat here. Frank's hot sauce. It's hard to find.
But, but do you miss your family?
Yeah, they fortunately, like, everyone has been able to come over and visit, and we spent a lot, you know, when they're here, we get to spend a lot of quality time with them, so that's been really nice. I think this is my third or fourth year in Europe, so I'm kind of getting used to, you know, the kind of the lifestyle, and you know, I definitely make up for it in my time off when I go home and I can spend time with my family. And but yeah, it can be trying at times. My sister is going to have a child soon. So, you know, we're all excited about that. So that's definitely something I'm going to get missed out on. The holidays, you know, it becomes tough, but, you know, I have a family at work, you know, in the locker room, and, it makes me feel, you know, a lot more comfortable. And, so it's not so bad.
And how is it for you? You don't have the locker room.
No. You know, it's nice. We, like Matt said, we've had visitors, and I don't know. I have a dog, too, that we have with us, and he's been with me for 10 years. So he's sort of like my family. So as long as he's around, you know, we feel okay. But, yeah, of course, I miss my family. And but, you know. I think we're both sort of surprised at how quickly time has passed. So we know we won't be here forever, but so that sort of keeps you going too.
So your dog has a passport?
Sort of, yeah, I guess so.
They have, I heard.
Yeah. I mean, I had to do a lot of paperwork to get him here.
Does he speak Swedish dog language?
Probably better than we do. Yeah.
What kind of dog?
A Siberian Husky. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're huge.
He's big, yeah.
How many kilos? 70 kilos, I think. 70,
no,
65. 35 kilos, 70 pounds. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
35 kilos.
It's actually a crazy story. The day that Allie flew to Sweden, she arrived with the dog, and KG picked Allie up and the dog, and got them back to the apartment, and I came back from practice. Oh, hey, like, haven't seen Allie in over a month, and it was exciting. And all of a sudden, the dog was not doing so well. So within like an hour's time, we went to the veterinarian, and we see the doctor. And I think Allie had been in Sweden for maybe 4 hours, and the doctor looked at us and said, well, you have two choices. Either you can lay him down, or he has to have emergency surgery, or he'll die right now. So we elected to have the surgery, and he stayed. I guess he stayed for 3 or 4 days. Yeah. But luckily he's okay, I guess, because of all the turbulence of the flying. And we gave him a bath when he got home. And I guess, like, if they, because they get very nervous, their stomachs can twist. Mm-hmm. And once the stomach twists, it can become very dangerous. And they had to go in and do some surgery to so he wouldn't die right away. So it was pretty hectic the first few hours for Allie in Sweden.
Yeah. Is it easy to have a dog here in the city?
Well, we live a little bit south, you know, and so I think the neighborhood that we live in, it's a little bit easier. He's definitely more of like a country dog than a city dog. So I think he probably appreciates that too. But I don't think it'd be that difficult even in the, you know, more of a city center, because there's so much green parks. You know, there are a lot of green parks in your city. So
is the dog chit chat walk, the dog walk with the chit chat with the other people who has dog, is that the same kind of talk in the States?
Yeah.
And here?
Yeah, I think so. You mean like meeting other people on the path or whatever? Yeah.
What's the first you ask? Or
I feel like, well, because here your dogs haven't been allowed to be fixed, right? And the, you know, Chase, our dog is fixed. So I think that's the first question, is if one of the dogs is off a leash, that's the first question. And then otherwise it's just what's the name? Oh, male or female, you know.
But yeah. But he's like the number one star when we're walking around. He's a big attraction. You know, he's this nice white fluffy dog, and he gets a lot of attention, and he likes it. So,
he's used to that, to get that attention.
Yeah, he likes it. He gets all proud, and Allie really is a great dog owner, and he requires a lot of attention just because he's kind of like. Almost like part wolf, you know, so he needs a lot of exercise, and he's pretty high maintenance. But, you know, it's our little world at home is just us two, and it's me and Allie and the dog. So we probably pay a little bit too much attention to his behavior than we should. But yeah, it's okay. He's a lot of fun. It's been, like I said, for a lot of the downtime, and especially for Allie, having, you know, a dog like that as our pet, it's been really helpful. So.
You didn't write anything about Matt's favorite joke.
I know. I feel like you're always joking around. I don't know what your favorite.
I don't know. Man. I'm not sure.
No.
It's not a stand-up comedian show. So.
Oh, you know what? I always say, no, never mind. It's not appropriate.
What kind of jokes do you like?
What's that?
What
kind? I like witty jokes. I don't really like dirty jokes. I like witty jokes that make you kind of think a little bit, and then you get it. But I always say, actually, me and my family, we joke around and say, how long is a Chinaman? And everyone kind of looks around, and then and it's not a question, it's a statement. The man from China, his name is Hao Long. Okay. So how long is a Chinaman?
It's a tricky one.
Yeah, trick question. Yeah,
you like word twisting.
Yeah. But I think a lot of times that I'm joking around in the locker room, sometimes in English, it's not translated the same, you know? So my jokes seem funny to me, but maybe not to the other guys, you know? So.
Do you play around with other guys, like have tape inside the water?
Yeah, we're always fooling around. There hasn't been too much of it, but I think it's actually picked today. Philip's home's birthday, and he got a couple of surprises today, which is fun. But you know, it keeps it, actually Patrick's really good about stuff like that too, you know, in the locker room, keeping it light, and you know, because we're always working so hard, and it's important to kind of take a step back and joke around like that. So But yeah, we have a few jokesters on the team. I kind of just lay and watch, you know. But
Holm get the cake today.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool tradition that you guys have here. For when it's at home, you know, it's like, you know, when it's your birthday, it would be more common for other people to make you a cake. You know, it's not common for you to provide cake for everyone else. So that was a bit of an adjustment, but I like it. I really do. I think it's cool.
Are you pleased with your own game this season?
Yes and no. I think you know, if you're ever too comfortable, I don't think it's healthy, you know. You know, I'm still as much as I'd like to say that I'm comfortable and you know, I'm used to the you know, that you know, the Swedish game, I'm still learning. You know, it wasn't the smoothest start for me, you know. I think that you know, I'm very capable of playing this style of hockey, and it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the season goes, you know. We're obviously in pretty good positioning right now. And we got a couple games before the break, and I'm looking forward to finishing the season. You know, I've had spurts of good play, but I'm really looking forward. It's not how you start; it's how you finish. You know, with anything in life, and I'm really looking forward to the back half of the season.
What kind of player would you like to be?
You know, I think a pretty versatile player. I think that's kind of what's got me to where I am today. I always say I'm like the jack of all trades, but really don't have master of one. You know, I don't really do anything so exceptional, but I think I can do many different things, you know. I think that's what defines me. You know, I can fit in many different places. I can play center, I can play wing, I can play defense on the power play, I can play in front on the power play, I can penalty kill, I can take face-offs, I can do many different things, you know. So it's really nice for me to play with players that are very skilled and talented, because I think I can kind of get them the puck and do the dirty work and kind of help them, you know, with their you know, blessed abilities.
What about the face-offs? You have you do it on your own way.
I don't know. I the past, like, I've always kind of taken pride in face-offs, and yeah, I struggled in the beginning of the season for quite a while. You know, recently I'm kind of getting used to the Swedish referees now. But, I don't know. It's always been a kind of a skill I've kind of developed and worked at over time. But, you know, it's there that I always, you know, that's like something I don't really like to talk about, because as well as you can do with face-offs, it can go bad just as quickly. You know, it's like talking about a shutout. For a goalie, it's like I don't like to talk about it too much. You know, it's like I feel like the more I think about it, the more challenging it gets when I go in and I just react. I have good. I guess I'm a little superstitious about the face-offs. I don't really like to talk about them too much.
But what's the difference between the referees here in Sweden?
Oh, I think that I think the Swedish players are used to kind of how much they can get away with. You know, there are rules with the face-off, but they're I guess like any other rule, they're meant to be bent or broken. And I think a lot of the experienced guys in the league that are taking face-offs have mastered, you know, kind of bending the rules and you know, I guess you'd say cheating a little bit and, you know, getting an advantage. So now that I've kind of learned the ways and I'm kind of cheating just as much myself, I think I'm giving myself a better opportunity. You know, it's a big part of the game, and coming down the stretch here, the back half of the season, it's going to become even more important, because puck possession is going to be so crucial, you know. And it's going to be exciting the rest of the way.
Last year, two guys went to the penalty box with like 1 minute left on the second, and the guy in the other team, he went off straight to the locker room, and when the third started, he was on the ice. No, he went to the penalty box and then he started mm-hmm. to play again. But the rule says if you leave the penalty box like he did, you can't play anymore. But the referees didn't know what to do because it didn't say anything about that in the rule book.
Oh, wow. Huh. What did they end up doing? They let him play or no?
Yeah, he played.
Oh, he did play, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Because that actually happened to me in the last game. I had a penalty with a minute and a half remaining in the period, and I thought they were going to let me go off to the dressing room, but I went in the penalty box, and so I was curious to see I didn't know what the rule was, you know. Anyways, but actually I think Philip Holm came in as well, and he didn't have a stick at the time, so they stopped the play before they dropped the puck. They stopped and they got Philip his stick. But I think it didn't matter whether he had a stick or not because he wouldn't be able to come out of the penalty box, you know. So, but it's okay. He got a stick, so it's okay.
Have you had any other funny memories like that?
Not so far here. No, nothing that really comes to the top of my head.
Is it more fun to play 5-on-5 or box play or power play?
I think... You know, obviously playing on the power play is pretty fun. You know, I think it's you know, when you play box play, you kind of have this special, I don't play very often, but you kind of have this special bond with the guys that you're playing with in box play because you know that you have one less player on the ice, and it's kind of like you have this, your own little like clique or family, you know, and you take a lot of pride, you know. I think when you kill the penalty, you know, and it can really change the momentum of a game, you know. So I think box play is a lot of fun. Yeah.
What do you think about the other teams in the Swedish league?
Yeah, I'm still learning, but you can see that each team has their own kind of identity and own kind of history, I guess you'd say. You know, we haven't played in all the away teams arenas, but I think we've played everyone in the league so far. So it's going to be interesting to see some of the teams, like we haven't played at Skellefteå yet, and I'm not sure who else we haven't played at their arena yet, but some of the other arenas are difficult to play at, you know. But I don't imagine that anywhere as a visiting player is worse than coming to play at Hovet, you know. I think that the environment that's created has to be extremely difficult on the opposing teams. So I would, you know, I think that, you know, this is a pretty special place. You know, I think this is probably the hardest place to play as a visiting team, for sure.
Do you remember the first time when you entered Hovet, the first game, the feeling?
Yeah, it was... It's pretty special, you know. I think actually someone just asked me this question. A family member of mine asked me the other day, you know, what it's like to come out of that tunnel, you know, when everyone's screaming, and you know, it's if you can't feel good coming out of there, I don't know what will make you feel good, you know. But at the same time, you know, the energy that they're creating, the fans, and the excitement is something that we need to learn how to. You know, use properly as well. You know, I think that if we just come out and go crazy right off the start of the game, we have to use that energy properly. You know, we have to keep our heads about us and not let all that energy kind of overwhelm us. You know, and I think at this point in the season, you know, we've done a pretty good job at that, and you know, we got to continue to use that energy properly.
Do you have any special routines before practices and games? Like first skate, first to right skate, or left skate,
you know, actually, I do always tie my right skate first before my left skate, but I don't do it like because it's superstition. It's just I always grab the right one first for whatever reason. I was talking about with Elaine He sits next to me in the dressing room. And we were talking about it the other day, how we always I think he ties his right skate first all the time as well. And it does feel funny if I tie my left skate first. I don't know why, but it doesn't matter for me. I'm not, maybe when I was younger, I would be more rigid, you know, and so focused on how I was preparing. But now it's more how I am feeling mentally, you know, and getting sharp and preparing for a game and all that. So,
but it's a lot of young players in the team.
Yeah.
You are one of the oldest.
Yeah, and it's something like I'm, you know, pretty comfortable with. I've always kind of been like a leader, you know, on my team as far as like a captain or assistant captain, you know, especially in college and whatnot. But I'm trying my best to, you know, to share my knowledge and my perspective on the game. But I think at the end of the day, excuse me, you know, it's up to them. Also to you know, embrace their opportunities as younger players and just keep working hard, you know. It's you know, you pick up different things, and I've picked up different things from players that I've played with along the way, and sometimes you don't realize as an older guy how much they're kind of like absorbing and how much they're watching and paying attention. But it's nothing that I'm not used to, or, you know, it's pretty comfortable for me. So,
what can you do for a young player like Jonathan Davidsson when he plays his first game? Are you that guy that gives him?
Yeah, you know, it's really encouraging. You know, even we had Forsberg. I forget his first. Is it Philip?
Fredrik.
Was that
Fredrik Forsberg?
Yeah, in the beginning of the season, he was playing a lot and. You know, I had a good relationship with him, and now Davidsson, like, it's just to get him to relax is, I think, the most important, because there's so much excitement, his first game and this and that. But, you know, Patrick was really good about it this week. And, you know, before the games, sometimes we'll put money on the board. And if we win the game, the money goes towards our team fund. And so this week we had a lot of people putting money on the board because they had big games coming up. And so before the game, Patrick said to Davidsson, he said, you know, you're going to put money on the board? And you know, he's a young guy. Maybe he's not making so much money or whatever the case might be. So Patrick said to him, well, how about you can bake a cake? If we win the game, you can bake a cake and everyone can have cake. And sure, we won. And on Monday yesterday, we all had cake from his mom, which is fantastic. So that was pretty cool.
So how will you celebrate Christmas?
We're not too sure, actually, just yet. But because Ali's residence visa, we're not sure if Ali can leave Sweden just yet. But either way, we'll be here on the 24th and 25th. But where we may travel. We're not sure where we're going to go just yet, whether we'll be able to leave Sweden or maybe we'll go back up north or try a different city or, you know, and maybe have some visitors. We're not sure yet, but we'll be here on the 24th and we've got a little tree and some Christmas decorations at home to make it feel nice and warm for Christmas. So we'll see. Excuse me.
What do you think Santa will give you this year?
Oh, boy. I'm not sure. You know, just having, you know, your family, you know, it's me and Allie and our dog. I think it's pretty, I think that's most important. You know, I think just having your health and family and friends is kind of the most important thing and all I could really ask for, you know. Yeah, I think that's really it. So we're pretty happy with that.
Do you think you had given the same answer for 10 years ago?
Probably not, you know. Recently my dad has had some health problems and it's kind of really put things in perspective for me and like our family. And I've always been close to my family, but I think now more than ever, being that you know, we've had some scares, you know, with health and some so you know, I think it's nothing money can buy, that's for sure. That's going to give me a nice Christmas.
Do you have a big family?
No, I don't. Pretty small family. I've got one sister and my dad was the only child and my mom just has one brother, so we don't have like a big extended family either. So we're a pretty tight-knit group at home.
Joel, I have one last question. So do you have?
Yeah, I have one more.
Okay.
If we're going back to your childhood, how did your child room look like?
Oh, I had some hockey wallpaper on the walls, and I always had the stars that glow in the dark on the ceiling. That was always a big, I don't know, for whatever reason, I always enjoyed that. But that's what I remember most about my childhood bedroom. I wasn't allowed to have a television, so it was really pretty much just sleeping that was going on in my bedroom. So,
what was it, hockey posters with old Djurgården players?
Well, I had Tommy Albelin was a coach of mine as well. So, and actually going back now, I start to realize like how many players that I've played with or come across. You know, I recognize Djurgården all the time now, whether it's their youth programs or whether players that play in the NHL. And
Tommy Albelin, he has been playing in Djurgården.
Yeah, yeah. So he was
a long time ago.
Yeah, he was my coach for 3 years in Albany.
Did you speak with him before you went there?
No, I didn't actually. But I do remember that Tommy would ride his bike to the rink every day, and I would say, Tommy, like, well, I don't understand. You're riding so far. But he said, it's normal for me. Why wouldn't I ride my bike? You know, like, everyone's riding their bike, and that's one thing we've noticed here too, is so many more people riding their bicycles everywhere. And I actually was riding my bike to the arena as well. I live much closer. And the management from the Devils wasn't very happy that I was riding my bike to the arena. And I said, what's the problem? Like, I ride my bike. It's okay, you know? Like, and Tommy was the same way. So we kind of had this bond over riding our bikes to the arena.
And my last question is, do you know the lyrics to the goal song?
No. I really enjoy when those bells go off. I know that.
But you know the melody.
What's that?
Jingle bells.
Is that right? Yeah?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah.
Ali's dad actually commented on it this week, and he said it sounds very familiar, but we couldn't think of what the song was. I didn't realize it is Jingle Bells.
But with the Swedish translation.
Yeah. Klockan slår, Djurgården gjorde mål.
Wow. Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ja, you bet. Thanks for having us. Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah.
Det här var lucka nummer 14 i Djurgårdens julkalender, ett möte med nummer 29 Matt Anderson på difhockey.se. Under rubriken Fans finns en underflik som heter radiointervjuer, och där finns intervjuer med Säcken, Marcus Sörensen och bland annat Mantas Armalis. Tack för att ni har lyssnat.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.